Yesterday we began by asking the questions, do we understand who we are in Christ, or do we believe the lies that the world tells us? In the first three chapters of Ephesians, Paul describes who we are in Christ. In the next three chapters, he shares with us how we should walk out our Christian lives in this fallen world. Now these are the hard chapters. Let's begin by reading Ephesians 4, 1 through 6. As a prisoner for the Lord, then I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. Much time could be taken to discuss how we should live as Christians, because these chapters are rich in insight. When looking at the first six verses of chapter 4, we could just focus on unity of believers and how Christian men and women are called to live together in unity with a humble attitude, treating one another gently and patiently and bearing with one another in love. Or we could focus on that as believers, we are all one in the Lord. God does not see any believer better than the other. He doesn't care about our skin color, our ethnicity, our gender. Nothing makes one believer better. We are all one in the Lord. But today I want to use Ephesians 4 as a foundational background to focus on an issue with which women often struggle with in this fallen world. It is a problem that can quickly destroy unity and divide believers. It is relational aggression. Relational aggression can be defined as any behavior intended to harm someone by damaging or manipulating relationships with others. It is not overt, and it is not physical aggression. You will see in a few minutes as we look at chapter 4 that this chapter has a lot to say about our behavior, especially verbally. But let's begin by giving you some background about aggression. Now, aggression usually starts in childhood. The first 3 years of life, boys and girls are equally aggressive. Now, in a traditional society such as Liberia, at about age 3, girls are usually urged to give up their physical aggression because the behavior is not deemed feminine. And this isn't particularly hard for females because over the years, we learn that we're not near physically as strong as our male counterparts. Instead of being physically strong, God gifted females with the ability to be relational and to be verbal. Girls, we know, at an early age are much more adept at using words. We develop interpersonal skills more rapidly than males do. And in utero, in the womb, the jawbone of the female uterus develops and begins to move before the jawbone of the male. Now, these are God-given gifts to females. The problem is, as women living in a fallen world, we often use our biological giftings in a negative way to get what we want and to express ourselves. By adolescence, most girls often forgo physical aggression and may have moved into the mode of relational aggressions, which can be used to exclude or ignore others, especially other females, spread gossip and rumor. And we know once we spread the gossip, whether it's true or not, it usually is not forgotten. We may not be able to hurt someone else physically, but we do know that taunts and insults and teasing can be just as harmful. And we also know that dropping the right word to the right person can intimidate, manipulate, and build alliances. As women, we use relational aggression just as men use physical aggression to produce fear, to produce power, control, popularity, and to gain a sense of security. Now the question is, why do women feel like they must use relational aggression to meet their needs? Well, research suggests that there's three possibilities. One, women throughout history have had little power and are not as physical as men, so they find their power in verbal skills and actions. Two, if women have low self-esteem, which easily occurs in societies or families where women are viewed as second-class citizens or viewed as insignificant, Women tend to use relational aggression to gain a sense of power. Often this means using it to control other women and children. 3. If a woman grows up in an aggressive and a violent situation, she may learn those behaviors if she's not as strong physically. Relational aggression may give her the power she needs to have some sense of control in her environment. And I would like to suggest a 4th reason that does not necessarily negate the reasons above, but helps us understand why the first 3 reasons are an issue. When Adam and Eve sinned, one of the things that occurred was a distortion of relationships between human beings, which means that we care more about ourselves than those around us. And each one of us use some form of relational aggression because our sinful nature innately leads us to the belief that life is all about me and what I can get. You know, I remember talking with some individuals who had served in Somalia, and I asked them what it was like. I said, "Is it really as bad as people say?" One of the individuals was an African male, and the other two were a married couple from the U.S. It was interesting to hear them talk about how manipulative they found the females to be. Why? Because they had no other power except for their ability to aggressively manipulate others. Nor would I suggest that most of them probably had a Christian foundation that emphasizes that their power is not found in manipulation, but through Christ. Well, what I can guarantee you is in this fallen world, and in any country, you can find women that are relationally aggressive. And I'm going to go out on a limb and say that at some time, every single female in here, including myself, has been guilty of it. And we need to understand that it is sin in action, and it is harmful to each one of us personally, to our Christian walk, to people around us, including the church. As Christian women, we need to step back and ask ourselves, have I learned to manipulate others by what I do and say? Do I use manipulation to express my anger and frustrations? Is my behavior Christ-like, or is it of that of the fallen world? And men and leaders of the church need to ask, have we established a culture that treats our wives, our mothers, our sisters, our daughters as second-class citizens, which strips them of their God-given rights to be heard and appreciated? Have we created an environment that in our community and churches that provides fertile soil for relational aggression to grow? Now let me just stop here and say that it would be easy for us women to point the fingers at men and say, it's all your fault, because historically you have dominated women, and so this is why we're acting like we do. But frankly, ladies, men would rather flee the country than have to deal with the relational chaos that we women can stir up. Now, this raises another question for me, something that I've always wondered about, and I've talked to other women about. Why are some women unhappy when other women succeed? Why are we not cheering one another on? Why at times are we our own worst enemies? Why do we treat other women so poorly and use relational aggression? Dr. Ann Campbell believes that women by nature are not violent, but genetically we are wired to protect our children and find the best circumstances for them to be able to survive. So historically, this means we have to try to find a protective male who is a good provider. We see the man as a valuable resource, and instinctively, women are motivated to compete for him, especially when women feel they have few resources or no options. And when we create a world where women have few resources or options, women view other women as competitors for their resources, with men being one of the most important resources that they can obtain. We also know that biologically, women want to be attractive and men want attractive female partners. So, if I put down another woman and make her seem unattractive, then I potentially have more power and resources. Interesting, isn't it? James Garbarino and other researchers also have found that relational and physical aggression that occur among adolescent girls tends to be based on them competing for boys. So, if this is true, One of the reasons why we speak so poorly of other women is because we're trying to make ourselves look better and make them look unattractive. You know, Liberia is no stranger to this type of female aggression that Campbell and Garbarino write about. I've either observed it or have heard about it from you. I was talking with one mother in Yakepa about comments that high school girls make to one another to put each other down. The same thing happens in the United States. And I have heard about women fighting over a man that they wanted to live with so that they had someone to take care of them or send them to school. I've talked to some of you who have grown up in a polygamous family and heard how the other wives treated your mother. And I've heard stories about how women have manipulated their husbands or used their children as pawns in marriage to get what they wanted. All of these are forms of relational aggression. Let me share another example of relational aggression that I've seen that can be just as harmful and occurs when women are in groups, such as at work or in the dorms or at church. See if this sounds familiar. In a group of women, a beehive can often form, and in that beehive is a queen bee, middle bees, and afraid bees. Now, the queen bee is the bully. She seems to know everything that's going on, and she has the power to intimidate both men and women, and she uses that power. Surrounding her are the middle bees. Now, they're not directly aggressive, but they report back to the queen bee. They let her know what others are saying. They're constantly stirring the pot. They're spreading rumor and gossip. And then we have the afraid to bees. This is the victim's role. Now, the afraid to bee usually knows that the queen bee is unreasonable, but she lacks the confidence to respond assertively and tell her to stop it. She's afraid to be her own person. And this hive buzzes all around the place, creating chaos. Now, it fascinates me because not too long ago, I was talking to a very strong Christian young woman who lived in a house with other Christian young women. And she was telling me about a problem that they were having. What it sounded like was that there were two queen bees living in that house. They were like making life miserable for each other and others around them. But what fascinated me that was none of the girls would say anything to the two queen bees. And I asked why. And my friend told me that it was because the two housemates would have just made life miserable if they had said anything. Is this really the way we want to be as women? Do we really want to be relationally aggressive? Well, you might be thinking, but as women we have so little power, how else are we supposed to behave? The simple answer is that we are to live a life as imitators of God. And throughout Scripture, we're given a clear picture of what that looks like. We've already read Ephesians 4, 1 through 6, which tells us that we're to be humble and gentle, patient, bearing with one another in love. We're to live in unity and peace. There's no place for relational aggression. Paul continues to tell us how we should be living. I'm going to read from Ephesians 4, 22 through 27, and then 29 through 32. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to your neighbor, for we are all members of one body. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold. Verse 29. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as Christ God forgave you. So as women, and men also, how should we live according to these scriptures? To put off our old self, to put away using our tongues and actions to have power and control over others. We're to have a new attitude, a new self. It is to be like God, righteous and holy. That means that we have to put away gossip, rumor, manipulation, intimidation. As Christian women, we cannot justify this behavior, nor can our Christian brothers. We're to put off falsehoods and speak truthfully. Lying to each other creates conflict and destroys trust. It breaks down the unity of the church, the community, and the family. We are to speak the truth, but remember in verse 15, Paul tells us to speak the truth in love. Speaking the truth with the intent to hurt someone is just another form of relational aggression. The scripture tells us that even though we are angry or been wronged, there is no excuse to sin. We're to watch unwholesome talk because it hurts our own witness. It hurts people around us and our relationship with God. So before we say something, and perhaps we want to say something to manipulate or in anger, we need to ask ourselves, is what we're about to say going to be good and helpful to others? Will our words encourage someone or discourage them? Will it grieve the Holy Spirit? We're not to talk like that. Verse 31 tells us that we are to give up bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, slander, all malicious behavior. These are all sins that are a part of relational aggression. Instead, we are to talk and be kind, tender-hearted, and forgive just as Christ forgave us. As Christian women, we have so many gifts. We can be strong and resourceful without being relationally aggressive. Dr. Chinchin has told me how women made a difference in Liberia, and by your actions, you are the ones that brought the peace here. It is true that the hand that rocks a cradle controls the world, and we want to control the world and our world around us in a Christ-like manner. As Christian women and men, we need to ask the Holy Spirit to help us to live a life that is pleasing to God. We have no excuse because God has given us the roadmap in His Word. Jesus reminds us in Luke 6:45, a good man or woman brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart. An evil man or woman brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his or her heart. For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. What is your heart full of? The choice becomes ours. Do we want to live out of the wealth of God that He graciously bestowed on us? Or do we want to be just another woman living in a fallen world? Podcast music by Maya Filipic, Between Two Worlds, July 18th, 2011, via Jamendo.com, Creative Commons Attribution.